This morning's Old Testament reading comes from Jeremiah, the 23rd chapter, verses 1 through 6. Found on page 1210 in your pew Bible. Jeremiah 23. Woe to the shepherds who are destroying and scattering the sheep of my pasture, declares the Lord. Therefore, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says to the shepherds who tend my people. Because you have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not bestowed care on them, I will bestow punishment on you for the evil that you have done, declares the Lord. I myself will gather the remnant of the flock out of all of the countries where I have driven them, and I will bring them back to their pasture, where they will be fruitful and increase in number. I will place shepherds over them who will tend them, and they will no longer be afraid or terrified, nor will any be missing, declares the Lord. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up to David a righteous branch, a king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will live in safety. This is the name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness.
We are very close to Thanksgiving morning, and it seems like it's slipped up on me this year. I don't know how the rest of you feel. But Thanksgiving is a double day at our household because Isaiah Harrison has a birthday on November 28th. So for his birthday, we're going to have turkey. And speaking of turkey, did you hear why the police arrested the turkey? They suspected it of foul play. And then on that same line, why did the turkey play the drums in his band? He already had drumsticks. Yeah, that's right, Jim. You nailed it. Oh, it's good to laugh. Will you please pray with me? Lord God, may the meditations of all of our hearts that are gathered here this morning, and may the words that flow from my lips truly be pleasing in your sight. For Lord, you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So, a song that would be appropriate on a day like today would actually be Auld Lang Syne, because this is New Year's Eve. If you look at the church calendar, it has its own calendar apart from the secular calendar, and this is the last Sunday of the year. This is Christ the King, or the reign of Christ the King Sunday. And Presbyterians typically are not bound by the church calendar. We have a lot of freedom in how we choose to worship. I am a pastor who has great respect for the church calendar because it gives us different seasons of the year. It provides rhythms from which we come to know God and read particular scriptures. And it's a good time for us to reflect on certain topics that oftentimes we gloss over. Next Sunday is the season of Advent. When you walk in next Sunday, the sanctuary will be decorated. You think it's for Christmas, but it's really for Advent. You have to tell yourself that when you come in. The colors will be blue. Oftentimes, they're also purple during Advent, and it's a season when we remember Jesus coming. The word Advent comes from the Latin adventum, which simply means to come or to appear. So we remember Jesus' first appearance in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago, but we eagerly anticipate his second advent, his second coming, when Jesus will return in all of his glory to redeem and renew the entire cosmos. After Advent, we go into the season of Christmas. And how many days are in the season of Christmas? Yeah, there's a song written about it, the 12 days of Christmas. I'm not going to preach on that today, but each one of the days in that song represents a portion of the church. After Christmas, we have Epiphany, Baptism of the Lord. Then we go into Common Time. Then we have Lent with Ash Wednesday. Then we fall into Eastertide, which rolls for 50 days until we come to Pentecost. After Pentecost, we have Common Time again until we again arrive at Christ the King, or the reign of Christ the King Sunday, which is today. Beginning in Advent, we're going to be reading lectionary text, as we are today. The texts we're reading are read by believers around the world on this very day. And during Advent, we're going to focus on the Old Testament lectionary readings, which are all found in the prophet Isaiah. And we will focus on hope, peace, joy, and love, lighting a candle each week to represent those themes. Now, Jeremiah, which Matt read from just a few moments ago, is considered one of the major prophets of the Old Testament, along with Isaiah and Ezekiel. Now, this does not mean that Jeremiah is more important than the minor prophets, you know, Hosea and Daniel, Zephaniah, etc., but rather it's just a reference to their corpus of written work. Those are tomes, almost, when you begin to read through Isaiah, Ezekiel, and Jeremiah. And Jeremiah actually wrote two books in the Old Testament, or he's responsible for two books in the Old Testament, Jeremiah and then Lamentations. Jeremiah was a young man when he was called by God into prophetic ministry. He was around 30 years old when he began working in the temple, and God used him for an incredible purpose, because he was given the gift of receiving oracles or visions from God, in which he would share with the kings of Judah from the mid-600s to the late 500s BC. He shared God's word with kings Josiah, Jehoahaz, Jehoiakim, and Jehoiachin. Those are two different names, but they sound almost the same. And then finally, Zedekiah. And in these oracles, God directed him to turn to his people, to turn to the shepherds who were ruling his people, and to call them, to cry out to them to repent, to stop living their evil, wicked ways, their secular lives, lives focused on themselves rather than lives focused on God and so on others. Or destruction would come. That Babylon would come, would destroy the nation, tear down the city, and send the people into captivity. He did not want this job. Who would want that job? To have to declare bad news every day to your friends and family and neighbors, your countrymen. And for this, Jeremiah was given a nickname. He's known as the Weeping Prophet, because the message he had to give was so very difficult for him. As we approach the reading from Jeremiah 23 this morning, we must understand that in the previous chapter, God has proclaimed a devastating judgment on the previous four kings of Judah. Those kings to whom Jeremiah had been prophesying to for so many years. And at the very end of chapter 22, we read, "Is this man Jehoiachin a despised broken pot, an object that no one wants? Why will he and his children be hurled out, cast into a land they do not know? Oh, land, 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 hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Lord says. Record this man as childless, a man who will not prosper in his lifetime, for none of his offspring will prosper. None will sit on the throne of David or rule any more in Judah." Now, at first glance, this oracle appears to be wrong, because there was a king who followed Jehoiachin, his son Zedekiah. But his reign was short-lived and then snuffed out by the Babylonians. And it appeared, on reading this, that the promise, the oath, the blood covenant that God had made with King David 400 years prior had been cut off. No longer was there a seed of David to rule the throne of God's people. See, God had made an eternal covenant with David. But now it appears that God is rescinding that covenant. Had God done that? Is God a being who makes divine covenants and then removes them? In the ancient world, it's worth noting that it was common to refer to kings and rulers and governors as shepherds. How had these earthly kings failed, or shepherds failed, as Jeremiah writes? Well, he says they had not bestowed care on their flock, the people of God. And as a result, the flock had been scattered and was being destroyed. And in a stinging verdict of poetic justice, God declares that because they had, quote, not bestowed care, I will bestow punishment on you for the evil you have done. See, in both instances, bestow is the same word in Hebrew. The divine judgment or punishment for these kings will fit their sins exactly. They have not been just in caring for God's people. But God will be. And indeed, there was precisely the sin of these kings that we read about in verses 5 and 6, that they had not cared for the least of these. They did not rule justly. As one scholar put it, kings were responsible for the maintenance of justice and order in the community, a responsibility that often seemed to get lost in the shuffle of military endeavors, political maneuvering, and economic aggrandizement. That is, they were more committed to maintaining their own power and their own prosperity than they were for caring for the common people, especially those marginalized by society. Now, if you think that the last phrase I shared is a bit of left-leaning political commentary, I urge you to open your minds to the word and will of God. I told you on my very first Sunday I will never take political positions in church, and I'm not doing that now, but I will share with you that the Word of God